Joining me in the studio to talk about it is a subject matter expert par excellence, Natasha Hawker, employment expert and managing director of Employee Matters, a big company that deals in exactly this sort of thing. Good afternoon, Natasha.
Good afternoon, Tony. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on because, as I said, you are a brainiac with this sort of stuff. It's your wheelhouse. Is it people getting worked up over essentially nothing? Because it's already been enshrined, I believe, in lots of work agreements and things like that. Does it just formalise something that has already existed?
I actually don't think it's already existed. I think there is definitely variances between different organisations. But essentially from today, businesses where they have 15 or more employees across the board, doesn't matter the industry, we're talking not-for-profits, cafes that have over 15, those employees have the right to ignore. They don't have to monitor, read or respond to any contact outside business hours unless, as you say, that contact is reasonable. So that's the interesting part to go down, what's reasonable.
Okay, 133693, if you'd like to speak to Natasha about this particular law. She's, of course, an employment expert and MD of Employee Matters, so she knows this act inside and out. 133693, if you want to speak to an expert about it. Reasonable. It's one of those rubbery words in the law. Give us your best definition.
Yeah, look, I would give it two examples. I think the first one is if, for example, your boss is interstate and an alarm's going off in the office and he needs someone to go in and meet with security and turn it off, that would be a reasonable reason for contacting one of your employees outside hours. An unreasonable one would be, say, your managers are disorganized and are not getting stuff done when they should, and they're contacting a junior staff member and saying, hey, Tony, I need you to log on at 9 o'clock now. This is due with the client tomorrow. And we knew about that some time ago, then that's not reasonable.
Okay.
There are some tests around this, Tony. So how was the contact made? What's the reason for the contact? Was it done through hours where people are dealing with childcare responsibilities? So if you're trying to call your employee at 6 o'clock at night when it's witching hour, that's not going to be deemed to be reasonable.
Okay. Or answerable, given how kids are, of course, at that time. Is there any trade-off in this? If my boss is not allowed to contact me outside of work hours, can he then say to me, okay, well, no, airfighters.net or airliners.com cannot be accessed, eBay cannot be accessed during work hours. Has there been a quid pro quo at all?
No, I think we need to be very careful here because this is now, as you say, enshrined as a workplace right. So what that means is it is the right of every employee to ignore your response or your request. So if you breach that, then you're potentially going to get yourself into hot water. It's up to the employee to push back, which I think some employees will be very happy to do that. We know, for example, our millennials, there was a survey done by Robert Half at the large recruitment agency, and they found they talked to 1,000 people. And here's two interesting facts. 87% of people are being contacted outside hours already. Okay. And the other fact was 75% of millennials are very happy to push back. I don't know whether you've got a millennial child. I do. Yeah. They're very happy to talk about their rights, whereas Gen Xers aren't comfortable with pushing back, and often the bosses. So they're going to have to get rid of their own unconscious bias and go, well, actually, they don't have to respond to me, and I can't penalise them if they don't.
Okay, 133693, if you want to talk about being contacted outside work hours and what that means for you, in which industries is this likely to impact?
I think some of the ones that are going to be really hard hit will be technology, you know, where there's large projects, and in those technology plays, they're often on global teams, so they're used to being contacted inside and outside hours. Now, there's a clarification here. There will be certain roles that people are very senior, they're on global teams, they're used to doing calls, and they're paid for that.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can still do that. But there will be other people who want that flexibility. Think about people who have childcare responsibilities, run and grab the kids at 3 o'clock, do what they need to do, and then log on late at night. And that's still doable under the legislation, but have the conversation and document it just so you've dotted your I's and crossed your T's.
Could something like this have come into force if we didn't live in the era of work from home? Do you think?
I think it's
Are they connected in any way?
I think it's been exacerbated. Right. The technology that we have now where our phone is pinging us all the time and it's very hard to ignore, but also COVID, because we did blur the lines between work and home.
Yeah.
You know, you don't run and catch the bus and can't get contacted anymore. You know, now we're on 24/7, whether we want to be or not. And I think for some of us, we have to get that discipline to be able to push back and go, actually, I'm going to ignore it. I hear, spoke to a lady on the plane yesterday, and she said her husband and her have a box and they put their phones in their box when they go to bed.
So that's a great idea.
It's a good idea.
133-693, Natasha, you happy to take calls?
Yes, very.
Natasha Hawke, employment expert and managing director of Employee Matters. John, go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Just wanting to inquire. I'm a casual worker for a big transport company, and we constantly have messages sent to us while we're sleeping on change of shift or cancellation of shift. Where do I stand there?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that one plays out. I think the big part of this is that we actually need to work out for each business what we can and can't do. And casuals, it's very different because you are employed from shift to shift. Mm. So that can be a bit of a challenge because if you want the shift, then you've sort of got to be available. I would guess though, and we don't know quite how it's going to work because it's only starting today, but my guess would be that some of those rules and boundaries are going to need to be discussed so that we know what works for John and what works for the business. Mm. And maybe we need to tweak that so that it's fair for both parties now.
Okay. Does that work for you, John?
Well, it's hopefully it will work for me. We'll see how it pans out, I suppose.
Okay, but a question I'm going to ask on your behalf, John. Notification of change shifts, or if John's off and he's available to work and nobody else can, let's say there's an emergency and John's the only person who could possibly conceivably come into work, the boss is within his rights outside
Absolutely.
Of hours or her right to outside.
Absolutely.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. And I think that's important to note because we want to make sure that the workplace still functions and there are going to be times where we do need to contact people outside hours. But I think there's a lot of people who are being contacted because people are disorganised or not. And I think this is where the challenge is going to be. What's going to happen to productivity? There was a study from Australian Institute that said they estimate there are something like 5.4 hours per week done by Australian workers unpaid. Overtime.
Wow,
so
okay.
If you suddenly say you can't do that, or people are saying, I'm not doing that, have we got a productivity? Have we got a resourcing problem in the workplace? So that's going to be an interesting one play out.
All right. Stick around, please, Natasha. 133-693 if you'd like to know more about this or have it explained as to how it impacts you directly. The right to disconnect laws. So the boss emails you or calls you outside of hours. You don't have to respond. That is law now. 133-693. How is that likely to affect you? Back with my guest, Natasha Hawker from Employee Matters. In a moment, lines are open if you'd like to give her a call. It is 19 minutes past midday. Joining me in the studio now, Natasha Hawker, employment expert and managing director of Employee Matters, a company she herself founded and works all around the country. If you work with a spouse, are they allowed to contact you after hours?
They do. I work with my husband.
Yeah.
When we go away, we actually have a swear jar, Tony, where we go, if
what?
You talk about the business, you have to put $10 in the swear jar.
Well done.
It does. It infiltrates your whole life. But
yeah.
I think, you know, there can be certain advantages of working with your business partner and husband or partner.
Yeah.
And disadvantages too. I think he'd like to shut me up quite a few times because I do a lot of talking when we're in the office together.
No man ever wants to stop his wife from talking. You must be mad. 133-693. If there was, who or what would you like the right to disconnect from? Who or what would you like the right to disconnect from? You get no more calls from who in your life. 133-693. Give us a call now. Michael, good afternoon. You're speaking with Natasha. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm just ringing from my experience when I used to be an operations manager. I used to have a rule that if I had to call staff after five, I'd always ring and try and be polite and respect their time and just say, sorry, I'm ringing you now. If you can call me back, just need to talk to you about something urgently. After 5:30, I'd actually try and just text it instead of calling them. And if I sent an email after hours, I was working for me after hours, not so much for them. And I might just send an email. And if they replied, that was fine. If not, it was okay. It was just, I felt if you respected their time, they would respect your business. And if you called them every day, then they probably would get tired of it. And then they wouldn't respect you because they go, why does my boss ring me every day after hours?
Michael, I think you did. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I had a, because the thing is, the boss above me was the opposite. He would ring me all the time. And it got to the point where, you know, I was on holidays and I left my phone in the car, and the abuse I got because I didn't answer the phone, that, and that's what I said. In the end, I ended up leaving that company after years. I just said, I've had enough of this boss, you know.
Okay, so can I, in we've got a perfect illustration there of a boss who's done the right thing because of a boss who hasn't.
Yeah, I think what Michael did was great. And I think like all these things, Tony, you know, if everyone did the right thing, we wouldn't need laws like this, would we? Michael, I think the way you managed it was exceptionally appropriate. And I think people will understand where there are going to be those certain instances. I think that there are, I got another example where there was a tradie and his business, his boss calls him every night to debrief on the projects they've worked on all day. That needs to be done during work hours. It shouldn't be done outside hours, because you really are encroaching on family time. And I think people need that now more than ever. We do have a mental health crisis in Australia, and we do know that workers' comp claims are on the increase around stress, and that stress is coming from the workplace. So we need to be careful about how we manage that.
G'day, Brendan. Go ahead.
Just curious, what's the go with the employee contacting the boss? So, for example, with my current work, we would have to send a text to our boss to say that I can't make it, I'm coming in sick or whatnot for tomorrow. That's obviously before we start our shift. So is the employee allowed to contact the boss after hours and state that I'm taking a sick day tomorrow, or text them at 5 o'clock because we have a 6 a.m. start? What's the go there?
So, Brendan, it's only for the employee being able to refuse. So you can still contact your boss. That's not an issue there. So that's absolutely fine for you to contact them. But what I would suggest to people is, this is where I think the work needs to be done. We have to work on what we're going to be comfortable communicating. We have to educate managers, because I think in many instances, business owners don't actually even know what's happening outside hours. They don't even know if their employees are working all these extra hours outside. So I think we need to find that out first and then say, all right, this is what's now appropriate as a result, or this is how we do things here, and then do a policy on that. You need to make sure your job descriptions are up to date and you've got employment contracts. So that's what we're helping our clients do.
And I know that you've said in previous comments, Natasha, that ignorance is no excuse.
Yes,
if you're an employee, if you're a boss or an owner.
And I think one of the things I touch on here, Tony, is, look, this is just one small amount of legislation change. The Albanese government have rolled out the most legislation change since Fair Work came in 2009, I kid you not. And there's everything from right to disconnect to respect at work, people at work, pay secrecy. I can now ask you, if I'm a colleague of yours, what you earn. And
really?
You don't have to tell me, but I can ask you. So all of this isn't solved by just a policy. And that's where I think business owners in Australia are really struggling, because they haven't actually done these yet. And there's a lot of downstream impacts from these legislation changes.
And I would argue they've got enough on their plate already. Yes. Ian, good afternoon. You're speaking with Natasha Hawker, employment expert. Go ahead.
Hi, Tony. Natasha. Tony, firstly, who I'd like to disconnect from is the hundreds of very nice people that call me to take up an energy upgrade for the Victorian government to get a new hot water service.
Brother. Yep.
Yeah. So, the point I was going to ask, Natasha, how do these laws sort of interact with an employer-provided device, where my employer actually provides me the phone, pays for it and says, here it is, so I can keep in touch with you?
That will now become irrelevant based on the new legislation, unless you are one of those very senior, very well-paid people where it's an expectation that you are compensated fairly for that. So the example I'd give there, Ian, is if you're on a global team and you're paid, you know, $250K a year, then you can still be contacted outside hours. This is more around award employees, that these restrictions are there to be protecting those. And I think that the other change we're going to see a lot is around the different generations, you know, 5 generations in the workforce, and we all have very different view of what's appropriate and what's not.
Well, okay, there's always going to be a bit of friction there. Thank you, Ian. Hello, Dom. You're our final caller for Natasha Hawker. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, one really simple, if you're the boss and you email people at the weekend that I want this done on Monday, blah, 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 all they'll do, they'll just queue up all their emails, and as soon as the ones that don't want to be contacted on the weekend open their, click on their laptop when they get to work on Monday, the boss, there'll be all these emails that I want done today. So that's how they'll get around it. On the other thing, just quickly, with these new IR laws, wait till the hundreds of thousands of casuals will no longer be legally allowed to be employed as casuals, and they'll all lose their 25% loading.
Do you care to comment on that, Natasha?
I'm not sure what the question is there.
Hang on. Just restate that for us, please, Dom.
Hey, the definition of a casual is now so complex that people that are employed as casuals will no longer be allowed to be employed as casuals, even if the employer and the employee agree, because it's against the law. They'll have to become part-time, and when they become part-time, they will lose their 25% loading.
I see where you're going with that, Dom. Yeah, look, once they've got 12 months service up, they have the right to request permanent part-time work. The employer could potentially reject that based on certain circumstances. But you're right, there is a lot of complexity around permanent part-time. Independent contractors are the ones I really worry about. They're very complex. And then casuals. Casuals are a much easier and a safer instrument to hire.
Good on you, Dom. Thank you. So just to clarify this, my team specifically, Bianca, contacts me after hours with a question about the maritime strike capability of the F-111 using the Harpoon anti-ship missile. Do I have to get back to her?
Is she your boss?
Isn't every woman in the workplace? No, but... So is that a yes or a no? Do I get back to her or not?
Well, you have the right, if it's outside hours, to ignore it.
All right, there we go. All right, it's a plain question, so I won't. Mm. Natasha, thank you so much for coming in and explaining that articulately for us. Thank you.
My pleasure.
That is Natasha Hawker, employment expert and MD of Employee Matters.